Father, I thank you and I praise you for all that you did here this morning so far. I thank you, Father God, that you are a God of justice and you are a God of peace and grace. I thank you, Father, that you always warn us before we go off track so that the enemy doesn't take us out. This morning, Father, I'm asking you to open up the spiritual ears, the spiritual eyes, and the hearts that they can hear, see, and receive. And Father, I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, some sort of holiday starts tonight. It's sundown. I done forgot the name of it already. We just talked about it. All right, thank you. And so that starts at sundown and it lasts until tomorrow at sundown. And you're supposed to be fasting and praying. So if you haven't entered into any of the things that are going on, the Jewish things that are going on, maybe you need to start tonight to get yourself right. And tonight we do the prayer, the 10-day prayer. We're not going to have a special guest. We're just going to be here. If you missed Wednesday night, you really missed a good service. You and I said, God, what was wrong here tonight? I said, we had a good service. And I said, begin with, when we started, it was everybody's laughing and carrying on while I was trying to open up. And I said, at the end, we was trying to blow the show. Well, we did blow the show far. We did open up. And I said, everybody was just walking around laughing and going on, having a good time. And he said, that's because my servant Elaine brought joy into the house. And she really did bring joy, a lot of joy. And see, just, she carries that spirit of joy, and she brought it into the house. So if you're carrying that spirit of whatever, that icky spirit, that's what you bring in the house with you. But she really did. She just, it was joy all through the service. And the teaching was great. Her testimony was great. And we just had a good time. We didn't have any visitors, just us, but we had a good time. You know, sometimes you have better time with one and two than you do a multitude. Amen. You know, I noticed a word going around a lot is narcissus. Is that how you... It's everywhere. Every time I turn my computer on, it's everywhere. Now it's gotten into the Christian community. And God had told me yesterday, or maybe it's Friday in prayer, that he's upset with somebody because they are so self-absorbed that all they think about is what they want. Don't care about how they're hurting anybody else. It's what they want. And so I sort of looked that up, and that's a narcissist. And they're not nice to be around from what I read. And if you know one, you know, you need to talk to them about getting yourself close to God and getting yourself delivered, because they'll tear you right on down. And they won't think anything about it because, after all, they need all that attention. And you need to satisfy them, isn't it right? You need to satisfy them and their wants and their needs. And, you know, you're not caring what you're doing to them. I am around one like that in my home, but I didn't know what it was until last night. So you need to really, you know, but God told me, you know, who this was I was praying for. But, you know, this is the kind of stuff saints, a child of God, shouldn't be involved in. You know, if you have this stuff, you need to get rid of it, instead of feeding it all the time. So how are you going to help somebody else get saved if you want them to be helping them all the time? You're going to have to be free so you can help other people. And you can't be hurt every time somebody says something that, you know, you don't agree with. You're never going to agree with everybody all the time. You know, you're just not. You can't satisfy. If God can't satisfy you, Holy Spirit can't satisfy you, why do you think you can satisfy people? People are people. And if you're going to minister to people, then you have to be hearing God's voice and know how to minister to these people. I mean, like I was sitting yesterday doing my teaching, and all of a sudden God said to me, write this person, tell them to listen to this song. So I did. And then about 15 minutes later, he started talking, give me a word for this person. So I took the word down. And the words God spoke to that person, so much love dripped off of every word of that prophetic word. I mean, love like I've never felt before. It was so full, packed with love. And see, and I sent it to him, and you know, they were really grateful. But this is where we should be. It, you know, no matter what we're going through, we should be so in the spirit that we'll feel God's heart and not our own heart. You know, and then when you give them a prophetic word, what God's feeling is dripping out of that word. Are you understanding this? At the time God gave me that word, I was frustrated. I was losing my messages, and I mean, I was having all kind of trouble. And so I popped God with this prophetic word, and you know, so if I would be walking in the Spirit, my frustration would have been in that prophetic word. Are you understanding this? But because I walk in the Spirit and I tell God to use me anytime you want to, no matter what I'm going through, God can use me. I'm telling you this so you understand this about your own self. So you don't go by your feelings. You know, no matter how you feel, you tell God, here I am, a willing vessel. Use me any way you want to use me, no matter what I'm going through. And he'll do that. And too many of us are caught up in our own emotions, and we say, God, use me, but you don't really mean that because you're wanting to be pacified. And if God's saying a good word to somebody else, you'll get upset. Then that upset will be in that word. Because after all, God, why aren't you satisfying my need? Why are you talking so great about this person? Are you all understanding this? You know, God said this is a line, and this is the nitty gritty of who you should be in Christ. And he told me with this church that most of you aren't even walking in the Spirit. You just think you are. You still have a religious spirit hanging on you. Because I was sitting there Wednesday night, and I was sitting back there Wednesday night, and I said, God, let me have a revival. And he said, the Lighthouse isn't ready for a revival because we're too caught up in our own selves, and we wouldn't be able to carry the anointing that's necessary to have a revival. Isn't that sad? I hope you all say yes, because it is sad. Because, you know, if we could have revival, then people come in and they get saved. But we're not ready yet. So let's go into this. All right. Now, Marty said something Wednesday night that really, and God clicked, put on a light for me. But the year 5084 is the year of the open door, and that door is Jesus. And that's what he said. And God said, did you hear what he just said? And I'm thinking, repeat that. But he didn't. You know, I repeat things. I want to shout, repeat that. And God said, that door is me. He says, I've been calling you into intimacy with me. And this is a time that if you have intimacy with me, the door is wide open for you. You're free to do anything you want to do in my kingdom. And I really got excited about that because we just say, well, the year 5084 is the year of the open door, and that door is Jesus, and we go on. But when God put that light bulb on and he said, that door is me, you have to come through me. You have to open that door to get any further in your walk with me. Isn't that awesome? So all you have to do is just draw close to God. So yeah, I'm going to tell him, Christopher. He said, I'm really trying to get close to God. I'm doing everything I can to get close to God. Well, his actions were not proving that. He was a mess. I called him and I said, all right, we need to talk about this. And what happened with him, he was trying to get so close to God. And we've seen other people that the enemy got in there and twisted, gave him a religious spirit to work through. And for a week, he was messed up. Are you understanding this? So I said, just you don't need to do any kind of go sit in the corner. He prays in tongues all the time. You don't need to pray in tongues for an hour. You know, just say, God, I'm yours, and just go on and enjoy life. You know, and then the enemy has no place to come in there, and you know, because he'll go in there and say, well, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. And, you know, so we talked for a while, and he's free today. See, you know, the truth will set you free. You know, and so why don't you just let the truth set you free? It might hurt, but it sets you free. You know, how many of you were spanked by your father and they said, this hurts me more than it does you? And I said, well, I don't think so, you know. But, and you know, this it hurts God to have to chastise us is what I'm getting at. But he does it because he loves us. And that's another thing, my father, I love you, and that's why I'm doing it. He beat, you know, they had the leather belts in, you know, and beat you half to death. But anyhow, I'm doing this, to, you know, to help you. But this is what God does when he takes us to the woodshed. He does that to help us, to keep us from being taken over by the enemy. So the open door this season, this year, is Jesus. Working at getting really super close to Jesus, and then you just have all the freedom. I'm hearing God say you'll be as free as a bug in a rug. You know, you just be able to do anything you want to do in Christ. All right, so then the days of awe are before us. Jesus has been calling us to the third heaven for a decade now. This is things God's been doing to us, all right? We have crossed the Red Sea and the Jordan River, and now we are standing in the Promised Land. All right, everybody's telling me you shouldn't be rejoicing right now. Well, they haven't been coming to the Lighthouse Church. You know, and I'm the pastor of Lighthouse Church, and God's been moving through us and bringing us higher and higher and higher. So that's why I put, we have crossed the Red Sea. Remember, whenever he said we crossed it? And we have crossed the Jordan River. Remember when he told us that? And he said, now we're standing on the Promised Land. And God also said something else. He said, God spoke and said, this is our year of Jubilee. This is the Lighthouse Church's year of Jubilee. So when they crossed the Red Sea, what did they do? They rejoiced. They sang. They had a good time. When they crossed the Jordan River, they sang. They rejoiced. They had a good time. And they were both times standing in the Promised Land. So don't let anybody tell you that we're singing wrong. Believe me, my spirit wants to sing slow songs. It really does. Because sometimes I sit and try, you know, when I'm putting a song service together, I have to quit because all these fast songs rattle my spirit. And I'm being honest. You know, until I get the right song that God wants, I have to listen to a lot of songs. And sometimes I'd have to shut it off and say, we'll just go back to this later. I you know, I don't like jumpy songs 24/7. But we go with what God wants us to do, and they're always anointed. All right, so everything God has promised is lying before our feet for the taking. This is what God told me to tell you. Everything God has spoken to us is lying before our feet for the taking. And then I said, every shepherd needs to hear the Father's voice for their flock and then proceed forward as God instructs. I hear God's voice, and this is what we do. And then we go on. Like I always tell you, and you need to feel the same thing, you're not the pastor of the church down on the corner. You're the pastor of the church you're in, and you need to keep your nose out of what they're doing. When I first started to make people come to me and say, what do you think is going on down at that church? I don't know, and I really don't care. I can't hardly handle this one. You know, so why should I try to handle somebody else's flock? You know what I'm saying? And this is the way you need to be, too. If God has called you to be a minister of some sort, evangelism, whatever he's called you to do, you keep your nose in your flock and you let God take care of the other ones. All right? We cannot look at what another church is doing. If I listened to everything everybody told me and then try to run this church like that, we wouldn't even have a church. So, you know, I don't look what other people are doing. I look at what God is doing with us. That's the only thing that's going to prosper each one of you. All right, God is not calling us to sit and wait for others to catch up. We are one of the many remnant churches. As a remnant church, we go forward and pave the way for others to follow. And see, this I wrote that down here because many other people said, you shouldn't be singing happy songs. You should be singing, you know, sweet by and by songs. We've already done that. And we've already attained. Why would we want to go backwards? You know, so we'll just let them go ahead and have God catch up. You know what I'm saying? And we're not better than anybody else, and we're not the only remnant church. I'm trying to teach you something about your own ministries. You do what God's telling you to do. I've really, twice in my ministry, I tried to imitate what other people were doing. It doesn't work because that's not what God called me to do. He might have called me to do it later, but he didn't call me to do it at that given time. All right? All right, so, you know, I got online and I went to the dancing, you know, the songs we were playing, and I watched how the dancers, danced to the songs, and I had a little email written for Tiana, and I was going to say, "You look at this." And God said, "Why would you do that to my daughter? Do you think she doesn't think my face about this?" He said, "You let her do the dance, and you're not up there dancing. She knows what she's doing." I said, you know? And I watched her dance, and she knows what she's doing. Yeah, do you understand what I'm trying to tell you here? You need to keep your nose in your own face. Listen, have your ears open to hear what the voice of God is saying to you. Then you do what God's telling you to do. I'm up here to give you the word and to teach you. That's all I'm here to do. What you do with it's entirely up to you. You can believe, disbelieve, or you know, I don't care what you do with it. But that's all my job is, because that's what God told me one time. You're trying to get them saved, and you can't get them saved. Your job is to give them the word, and my Holy Spirit will work on the word you give. All right? All right, so where am I here? God has been calling the body to into complete, total intimacy with him. In Psalm 20, verse 7, says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in your own flesh to get things done? You'll never get it done. Never will. I was blaming you guys because the glory wasn't coming, and the glory, God just wasn't ready to drop the glory. So I learned a lesson there. And he says, when my timing is right, I will drop the glory. Quit blaming other people for it. How many of you blame other people for what's going on in your life? You know, I was seeking God's face, why things weren't happening, and he put me in my place. He's God, and he'll do it when he wants to do it. All right, this verse emphasizes the importance of placing trust in God rather than relying solely on material possessions or worldly power. The remnant church is called to go forward and pave the way for others to follow. To fulfill this responsibility, we must also walk in holiness and righteousness. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost, now listen to this scripture, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, and in one place. They were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Just not one or two, but all. And see, what happened, the reason why God could drop his glory that day was because they were all in one mind and one accord. Total and complete unity. All right? Yeah, you know, we can be in one mind and one accord and not be hugging and kissing one another. We can just be believing that God's going to move. And we can do what God asks us to do, and that's to love our brothers and sisters, to walk in love. You know, that's all we're really required to do. And you're in holiness, righteousness, of course. But you don't have to say, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. No, you don't. You just come fully immersed in God. And just know that God, you're going to drop your glory. Could be this day. It could be next year. But God told me, and like I told you now, God always told me it's going to fall, drop in the fall. And every fall I think it's going to drop, but every fall it doesn't. And he hasn't said this is a fall, so I want you all to understand that. But I just feel in my spirit, this is a fall that God's going to drop his glory. All right? All right, a remnant church cannot be a house divided. If we cannot walk in unity, God will separate and divide, and only the righteous shall remain. God told me, he said, what he's going to do, he's going to keep shaking this church until everything that can be shaken is shaken. And when he's finished, you only have a handful of people. But with that handful of people, he's going to start the revival. You know, so if you don't want to get right with God, God won't use you. Are you understanding this? It's up to you what you do with your walk with God. All right, now that's what I said, all right, about the open door. Now this is an article that I saw. And see, this is where I got confused, Brett. Mine was the open door, and hers was, it's time to trust again. And what's God been telling us? Trust. So you see, God's already taught us about trust. And here God gave her this word this week about trust. You see this? All right, a line in the sand. Recently, during a time of worship, I saw a picture of a line drawn in the sand with people standing on one side. looking as if they were unable to cross over it. I instinctively knew that disappointments and unanswered questions were holding them back from stepping over this line and allowing their hearts to fully trust again. Let's stop there. How long ago was it God said that the line has been drawn in the sand? Not too long ago, a couple months ago, maybe 3, 4. So here now, she saw the line. And God said, told us, the line had been drawn in the sand and you've crossed over, he said. But she's saying here that some couldn't cross over. Okay? Don't you think that's important? Aren't you excited about that? God said, I've drawn the line in the sand here and you've crossed over. So see, because we've done that, then we have a right to be rejoicing. And this is our year of Jubilee, and God told me this is the lighthouse's year of Jubilee. So whatever God has told you will come to pass this year, if you can believe for it. You have to believe for it, though. All right, she went on to say that the enemy had lied to these individuals, clouding their perception and ability to clearly see the path ahead of them. A cloudy film hung over their eyes like cataracts, but the film consisted of their perceptions of situations that had occurred and had built up, making it difficult to see. In Psalm 73:2 says, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. Now, this is why some of you aren't making it, is because you're still looking at circumstances. And you're not trusting that God can bring you through these circumstances. And even things that have happened to you in your past, you know I say, I don't care what happened in your past. I really do. You know, I really do. But, you know, what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter what happened in your past. And you know, lately, the devil's been bringing everything in my past was no good, what people had done to me. Right before my eyes every day, and I have to bind that thing, rebuke that thing, refuse to look at that thing, because it never bothered me up until now, and it's been years ago. So I know that that's one of the tools the enemy's using right now, is to bring the hurts of the past to the forefront to try to stop us. Or I know some more of you that, other than me, are going through that right now. And that's just a thing the enemy is using right now. This is where many of you find yourselves right now. The onslaught of difficult circumstances has come in such a way that you feel as if your feet have slipped. It is difficult to move ahead and you haven't been able to see the way. Loss of family members, prolonged sickness, financial setbacks, relational difficulties, and more have plagued many of you, causing hope deferred to taunt you and threaten to take up residence in your hearts. Okay? In Psalm 73:14, all day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. Aren't we going through that? Aren't we? I know that I'm not the only one going through this right now. And see, I go through these things so I understand what's going on with the body. I know whatever's happening to me, it's happening to this body of Christ. All right, and I'm telling you, you can't look at that stuff. You have to keep, you know it's from the devil, and just keep binding that thing and just, I don't, shout a song, do something, but you know, get it out of your mind. Don't let the enemy plague your mind with it, because he'll destroy you with it. He really will. And you know, some of the things he's bringing to my past, too, the people who died, you know, at least 5 years ago. So why would I wasn't thinking about it then when they were alive. And I was helping them. Why would I think about it 5 years after they're dead? That's the devil. That's the devil. So don't let that happen to you. I don't give in to it, because I know I'm not that type of person. I don't, like somebody said, do you remember what? I said, I don't remember that. Why don't you remember that? I said, why would I want to remember that? That's something dumb. You know, I don't want to clutter my mind with dumb stuff. You know, how many people say, don't you remember? No, I don't. Yesterday, the kid said, do you remember anything? I said, not really. I said, because it happened, it's over with, you know. I have to move on with life. If you can identify with this, all right, so come into God's sanctuary. If you can identify with this and you find yourself in the midst of this swirl of difficulty and inability to see ahead, God is inviting you into the sanctuary with him. He is inviting you to trust him again. It is in this intimate place that he will speak and reveal his heart for you and bring understanding to your place of confusion. He is inviting you to lay down your hurt and your wounded pride and come to him with a humble heart to hear and believe in his goodness. I know it's been a good 6 years ago. I was right there where Alan's sitting, and I've told this before, I'm going to tell it again. And I was preaching, and God spoke to me. He said, daughter, he said, you don't trust me anymore. You know, I'm preaching, and he's talking to me, you know. That's just the way God is. And I said, and I, in my subconscious, I said, yes, I do, Lord. He said, no, you don't. And I said, well, how, and he, you know, I'm preaching all this time, too, you know. You can have a conversation with God and preach, you know. And I said, well, why am I not, he said, because you're not trusting the people. So therefore, you aren't trusting me that I can bring the people forth. So 6 years ago, God had to deal with me about trust. So you're not the only one he has to deal with. You have to deal with me too. But when God deals with me with something, I learn a lesson and I don't carry it again. I'm not going to go down that same mountain over and over again. So God, I'm reading this again. God is inviting you to lay down your hurt and your wounded pride and come to him with a humble heart to hear and believe in his goodness. It is in this secret place with him that he will pour out his healing oil into your wounded heart. In Psalm 73:16, when I tried to understand it all, I just couldn't. It was too puzzling, too much of a riddle to me. But then one day I was brought into the sanctuaries of God, and in the light of glory my distorted perspective vanished. You can't get healed sitting out there. You have to come into the house of God somewhere. You don't have to come in here, but go to the house of God somewhere. And in there, there's the anointing of others is around about you. It'll destroy the work of the evil one that's trying to take you out. You know, I know a lot of people now do the Zoom or whatever you call that thing. And, you know, but sometimes I think it's, if you're able to get to a church, you should really go to a church where you can be sitting with other that are anointed to help you. That's it. Whenever God called me into ministry, I was really hurting bad, bad, bad. And the only way I got out of that was going to church, even when I didn't feel like it, just going to church, sitting in the back, crying the whole during the service. You know, but God was pulling up all that pain and all that hurt from the years, and he was setting me free. Are you understanding this? And it was in the house of God that God tore down the walls I'd built around my heart so he could use me. But that wouldn't have happened sitting in my home because it hadn't happened all my life. But in the house of God, and when I was standing there worshiping God, God let me see my heart with a brick wall around it. And I know some of you in here, you have the same thing. And God said, daughter, I want to use you, but I can't unless you let me tear that heart, that wall down. And he said, when I do, your heart will be hurt again, but your heart has to be open to be hurt if you're going to be a servant of mine. I stood there a few minutes and started crying. I said, go ahead, God, tear it down. And I watched him tear that whole wall down. And it came after 20 years maybe. God said to me, daughter, you're building that wall again. And he let me see. I had two layers of brick getting ready to build the wall around my heart again. He said, you can't do this. Let me tear it down. So I'm telling you guys, everybody hurts. You know, and everybody wants to, you know, I was the type of person, you can only come this far and no further. You're not going to hurt me no more. I kept everybody at bay. I stayed by myself. You know, I worked and everything, but you weren't going to get near my heart. It had already been torn to shreds. And I had to get rid of that. Has my heart been hurt? Absolutely. You wait till you minister. When you start ministering, your heart hurts. Your heart is torn apart more than before you stepped into the pulpit or whatever you're called to do. All right, I'm quite sure, Tiana, you probably have more hurt since you started dancing, because once you share your give yourself to God, and once you allow God to use you, then the enemy comes to make sure that he gets you back out of it, out of God's hands. Are you understanding this morning? You're always going to be hurt, and I'm not going to sit here and say you're always going to be hurt. And you're always going to be misunderstood. And, you know, especially for those who are religious and don't walk in the Spirit. And, you know, sometimes you'll be just misunderstood by somebody you love dearly, you know. because they just don't understand what God is doing to you, with you and through you. I've lost my place. Our wounded and distorted perceptions are healed as we encounter the light of His glory. This is a place of honest and open communication and a place where truth is revealed. It's when you sit in the glory of God. The light emanating from His countenance dispels all darkness and confusion. See that? The light emanating from His countenance dispels all darkness and confusion. Your mind doesn't. Everything has to come from God. Everything. Many are standing at the line, at that line in the sand. Things too difficult to understand have paralyzed you, causing a hesitation in moving on with God and others. God is beckoning you to come into His sanctuary and be with Him. Just say, God, pull me so tight, so close in your heart. Let your heart just totally, completely consume me. I don't want to know anything, Father God, but your heart. Doesn't matter what I have to go through. I just want to know your heart. And so, okay, when you ask Him to do that, then you could be sitting somewhere laughing and all of a sudden you start crying. You think, what is wrong with me? You just felt God's heart because He's sad over something that's happening in somebody else's life. All right? That's just how it works. I'm glad I feel God's heart because I want to know what God's feeling and what He's doing. I want to know what's happening in the body of Christ. And you know that by knowing God's heart. I like it because I also understand what's going on in my household, those around about me. All right, unanswered questions and a choice to worship. In the familiar story where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in John 11, we find Mary struggling to trust Jesus. Mary, of all people. The man whom she had come to serve and love as Lord. When she and her sister Martha initially reached out to Jesus and He delayed in coming, both Mary and Martha were overcome with questions and doubts. This is about Lazarus dying, by the way. When Jesus finally arrived after Lazarus had died and was lying in a tomb, Mary's response reveals a torrent of emotion she must have been feeling. In John 11:32, when Mary reached a place where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell at His feet and said, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. See, she was upset with Jesus, questioning Him. We know that Jesus did raise Lazarus from the dead and Mary witnessed it. But a very revealing moment is found one chapter later in John 12 when Mary pours an expensive bottle of perfume on Jesus' feet, anointing them and then wiping them with her hair. So we don't know if she did this after she questioned, why didn't you come sooner? We don't know if all her former questions were answered or resolved, but her extravagant act of worship revealed that her heart was in a place to fully trust again. Are you seeing this? Fully trust again. Mary was willing to put the past behind her as she moved forward with an intimate act of devotion. Catherine, God said, you have to learn to trust Him again. You're about 50% there, He says. He wants you to be a 100% there. You have to put aside all the hurts of the past, all the disillusionment. And you don't really trust men because they've left you down over and over and over again. But God's saying, daughter, I'm not a man that I should lie. And you can trust, you can put your trust fully, completely, totally in me. And then don't worry about what man does. Just keep your eyes totally upon me. Mary was willing to put the past behind her as she moved forward with an intimate act of devotion. That's how you know if you've really forgiven somebody. You move on. You do something good for them, you know. And you don't keep thinking about what they've done to you. You just know that God is more than enough. And no matter what you went through, He was there with you in it. And He kept you safe. All right? And I'm hearing God say, I don't poison the heart. I heal the heart. Satan poisons the heart. It makes us make our hearts cold and indifferent. Jesus doesn't do that. Mary chose to offer a sacrifice of worship without demanding that all her questions be answered. Mary chose to trust. So if you have all these questions before God, you better start worshiping him before he ever answers you. You better start trusting to know that he knows exactly what you went through and why you went through it. Some of us, when I was going to walk down the aisle to marry my first husband, I heard a voice say to me, don't walk down that aisle. But see, I didn't know what to know then. I didn't know where that voice came from. And I thought about all the money put into the wedding and all the food that was waiting and everything else. And I thought to myself, I can't disappoint anybody. I don't know where that voice came from, but I can't disappoint all these people. So I married a man I was not supposed to marry and had 3 children. And I've paid a terrible price for that, because the curse of disobedience worked right on through him and right on down through my children. So when you hear a voice, you better obey it. But see, I said, God, why did I have to do this? So I didn't know that you talked. But he didn't answer that. And I guess I went to church all my life, and I wasn't a bad person. And I didn't read my word. Well, I did read my word. I didn't understand it. But I relied on the pastor to tell me what the word meant. And then they didn't teach about walking in the Spirit. But still, no, I paid the price. So I can't go back and blame God is what I'm trying to get over. I heard a voice, even though I didn't understand it, I didn't follow it. And I thought about displeasing man, and I walked right into a commitment of hell. That's what happened, all right? All right, trust again. The only way to trust again is to trust again. Very simple. Nothing complicated. You hear that, Catherine? God is beckoning many of us right now to put aside unanswered questions, disappointments, and those things that have held our hearts captive in this season. For some, a conscious decision to just trust again needs to be made. For others, a deeper process of healing may need to occur first. But either way, I see the Father extending his hand, inviting us to come into his sanctuary with him. It is in this refuge with him where true healing will occur and hearts will once again burn with the flame of passionate love and devotion. I'm going to share this with y'all so you understand this. I was going to this church. God set my heart free, but the people in that church did not like me. And they talked about me terribly. And they really hurt me all the time. And finally, one day I left and God says, in my life, I went to another church, which they treated me great. But for a year, I was miserable, even though they treated me great. And God said, now you have to go back to the church you left. I said, but God, they really mistreated me. He said, but I didn't tell you to leave. You go back there. So I went back, and I told him, God told me to come back. They didn't believe that, but he did. And I was there a couple months, and God said, now you can leave again. I said, but I had just settled in. I was happy. I met a few people, and I was happy. He said, I want you to leave now. And I said, but God, I just got settled. He said, I want you to leave. He said, I just wanted you to be obedient and come back into a place where they didn't like you. I wanted you to be obedient. He said, now I want you to leave. I don't want you to come back here again. You see that? All right, this is what God said. Trust me. Lay aside the things you don't understand and be with me. I will guide you with my counsel, and you will know the way to go. I will remove your cataracts of distortion and give you spirit eyes. Look to me and magnify who I am in the midst of your confusion. I will level the rough places before you and once again give you a firm place to stand. I am bringing you into alignment, and you will walk uprightly in the land I am giving you. Come, bathe in my glory. This is a place above the enemy's waves of confusion and lies. You have been capsized, but I am bringing you upright and restoring you to navigate with ease as you learn to follow my light. The only way you can do that is by saying, all right, God, I trust you. That's words I'm putting after I trust you. Now I'm believing you, Father God, to come and make those words real. Help me to truly trust you. Do you understand this? You've put your trust in the devil all your life. What's the big deal about turning around and look how he's messed your life up? Oh, some of you might have given you a good life, but you know. But why not turn around and put your trust in the one and true God, our Heavenly Father? All he wants out of us is for us to be happy. All right? Even in our sorrows, even our trials and tribulations, you can be happy. You really can be happy. You refuse to be happy is a problem. See, you make decisions all the time. Well, I'm going to be happy today. Well, nope, now I decide I'm going to be upset with so-and-so. And nope, now I'm going to be unhappy today. So you make these decisions all the time. I know some of you are like me. Before you get out of bed in the morning, you have to lay there and really get your heart right. Because you know what you're going to meet that day. And so you have to sit there and get, you know, and God put him right. Say, God, just take me over right now before I get out of that bed. Because if you don't, I'm going to mess up today. And I'm going to act like the devil. And that's all right. At least you know to do that. At least you know to give yourself over to God so that he has full control of you. And, you know, and I don't know why everybody looks for a human being to give you all that love. God is the one who gives us all that love. And I know for a fact that if you're living with somebody that doesn't love you, if you just keep showering love on them, they have to be nice to you. I've lived that with two men. They can't help it. They have to be nice to you because they think I'm so doing bad things. Why are they nice to me? And they can't help themselves. And I didn't do that with either one, you know, just so they would. I just did it. That's my nature. You can beg if you want, but I don't have to go down that mud hole with you. You know, when I worked at the college, you know, people come in, you know, and I counseled a lot of the students, and they would say, oh, I'm having a bad day. My wife was a mess before I left the house. Well, that didn't have to mess up your day just because she's messed up, right? You don't believe me, do you? No, see, you made that choice when you left that house to stay messed up all day, and she's probably home just lollygagging around having a good time, and you're messed up, or vice versa. So let's quit doing that. I don't rely on any human being to make me happy. I really don't. Because the Father's the only one that's ever made me happy. My Father in heaven is the only one that ever took care of me all my life. You know. Come on. Some of you people, you've had a good life and Satan come along and stole that good life for you. And now you're upset with God because after all, look, you used to have all this. Now you don't have that. Come on. I didn't have nothing. Now I have everything. So maybe that's why I'm so happy. I don't have riches. I really don't. I don't have a new car. I really don't. You know, each month I got to, am I really going to be able to pay my bills? I'm just happy. My daughter said to me yesterday, Mom, you're dying and you're happy. I said, no, I'm not dying. God said I was going to live and not die. You know, I said, so quit speaking that over my life. But so you see, I can either choose to lay in that bed and wait for it to happen, or I can choose to go out there and be happy. I'm putting my trust in God, what he promised me. Are you? Are you? You know, he said we're in the year of Jubilee. He wants to answer every one of his promises he gave you. Why not let it start today? Well, Father, I truly do thank you for your word of instruction this morning. And I know it fell on ears that were wide open, Father, and hearts that were ready to receive. I plead the blood of Jesus over the word right now. And Father God, I'm asking that you show yourself to your people today. Show them who you truly are. And Father, I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And what God is, I just see the word trust, big letters, just trust. And if you come up to the altar this morning, God's going to drop that anointing of trust on you. And you're going to be able to trust God. Even though your flesh doesn't quite want to, you're just going to trust God.